Lord may help me. I would desire to direct your attention to the words you'll find in the 23rd Psalm, the first and second verses. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The 23rd Psalm, the first and second verses, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. As I've said this morning, when endeavoring to speak from these words, this is a very blessed and sweet psalm. It's an unspeakable mercy. If we can come in with the language in any way, not in bare assumption or on the pride of our heart, but by reason of a good hope of God's mercy to us. The Lord has spoken of as being the shepherd. Very blessed and sweet figure, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the Lord himself uses this figure, he calls himself the shepherd of the sheep. In that sense of John that we read, and in that 34th of Ezekiel this evening there, the Lord is speaking prophetically of raising up one shepherd over them, and he shall lead them. Speaking without a doubt of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and of his leading his one people, by way of that great work of redemption for which he came down in this low world to do. We know that the Lord has a people. At least we profess to know. A people which he terms his flock, which he knew from all eternity. And he knew them even by name then, before ever they saw the light of day. For their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is absolute foolishness to the world, and to many who profess to fear God. They will not have this. It's beyond their reasoning mind. And because their reasoning minds cannot grasp it, they say, away with it. Well, the Pharisees, with all their religion, did the same when Christ was with them. And we have the same Pharisaical zeal running through now in the religious community of this land and others. They will not have this truth. Oh no. But oh, what a mercy it is. If you and I can receive this by faith, not merely because we may have been brought up in what we call the truth, and have heard it preached, have heard it read, and have conversed in regard to it, we accept it in our minds, but because we know something of the living experience of it in our own heart. As many things perhaps seem to be hard for you to comprehend, especially in the sovereignty of God, through my searching and find out God, his sovereignty indeed is beyond our comprehension. But when we come to redemption, we come to salvation by grace, when we come to election and predestination, do we receive it? Do we receive it by reason of its revelation to our heart and mind? Do we see a beauty in it? Can we see and realize the love of God in it? Has it been tested in you? Because if it's never been tested and tried in you, you don't believe it. You've got an intellectual apprehension of the truth, of the letter of the word, but you don't know the life and power of the truth of it. It says these things are opposed, not merely without, but in your and my heart, as we pass along. And as the Lord brings us through and establishes His word in our heart, by that living experience that each and all of His people are called to pass through, it is sure that one of old said, by these things men live, and in these things is the life of my spirit. However then, can we believe, can we have that faith, unless we know, unless it's been tried in us? We can all believe or say we believe until opposition comes. And when the enemy comes in, he comes in like a flood. When a flood takes, carries everything away with it, you've no power of resistance there. What then, say it? Why, then it carries away everything that is superfluous. Everything which is not of the Spirit quickening and revealing. In fact, everything which is not of the Lord. And it is by these things we can say the Lord is my shepherd. By reason of what He has done for us and done in us. Can you look back? Can I look back? Can I trace His dealings? Have I any hope that He has brought me out of nature's darkness into His marvelous light? That I've got something more than the religion that I put on, but something in my heart the Lord put on? His righteousness imputed. The Lord is it, my shepherd. And He could give the reason for it too. That He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He maketh me. Why, my friends, if left to ourselves, we turn away from our blessings. We would indeed. As you see, the Lord makes it. He makes willing in the day of His power. Oh, what a mercy that He condescends to bear with us. How He doesn't cut us off in the midst of our days because of our base fixed lightings and worldly mindedness, aye, in our rebellion sometimes. Can you trace His dealings there? Never mind about the mountaintop blessings, you leave them for a while. Be thankful the Lord has ever put you up there, but if He's put you there, my friends, you've only got to see another valley and another mountain in front of you. For the way the children of Israel went was from wilderness to wilderness. And so it is with the Lord's dear people. But thank God He feeds them, leads them, clothes them, and watches over them and brings them through it last. And there's the blessing. So you see, we can say these things as David did by reason of that which He has wrought in us and for us. Now you don't want people, anyone to tell you whether He has put His fear in your heart. You don't want anyone to tell you whether He's come to you in your trials and temptations and difficulties. of life's journey, whether providential or spiritual, they're all in the Lord's hand. You can't separate them with regard to God's dealings with his people, for they're all under his supreme command, and all within that word, all things work together for good for those that love God, and all are called according to his purpose. So you can't separate providence from grace, can you? Although you may have providential mercies and yet know nothing of spiritual blessing, but you'll never have any spiritual blessings and know nothing of providential blessings. There's a difference, you see. And you say, if he's led you along, as he's brought you through, do you know what it is to be opposed? Do you know what it is for the enemy come in sometimes like a flood, this dear man did? All thy ways and thy pillars go over me. They said it one time, swept everything away from it. And when he tried to grasp the promise, and the grasp of the hand of the Lord, he said, I sink in deep mire where there's no standing. I've got nothing to stand on. And when I would take a stand on that, on his covenant promises, I can't get a firm foothold on it. I slip and slide, and I'm sinking in the deep mire where there's no standing. I grant you, we're not all brought into that depth of experience, and everyone is brought more or less to those places where their faith is tried. Or otherwise, how can you claim the Lord to be your shepherd if you've never heard him or know nothing of his leadings, nothing of him bringing you into the green pasture, nothing of him showing you a plain path for his namesake? But off here and there, you can lay claim to it. What a mercy. Unbelief may rise up from time to time and obscure everything for a season. It may do that. You never take it out of your soul, though, friend. You never take it out of your heart. It may be clouded with damps and fears sometimes by reason of our poor sinful flesh. But he'll never take that which the Lord has put in you. And as I've often said, the reason is this: every blessing of every shape and form wherewith the Lord blesses his people has the mark of his precious blood on it. That gives it the life, the power. And will the Lord leave that? Will Satan be able to take that? Never. One thing he cannot do, he cannot lay his hand on that. He'll never rob a child of God of that. He may try to. He may threaten to, but he'll never do it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Here he gets the assurance. Shall we want, friend? Is it possible we shall want? Will he have brought us thus far and put us to shame? Is all his love and his mercy to us, his guidance, his direction, his long-suffering, will that be all in vain? Will that be cast aside? Will he leave us? Never. The Lord said this, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Now that's unconditional. He doesn't say, I won't leave you if you don't leave me. I'll not forsake you, he said. I won't turn away from you even if you turn from me. No, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. What do you say about it then? Has he proved better than your doubts and fears many times? Has he dealt with you in mercy, notwithstanding your rebellious heart? Has he? Will you again and again lengthen out this mercy and drop that word in season? When your hopeless sheep perish of the Lord, did he drop something to your soul that revived you? Did he give you a little heavenly manna in your wilderness pathway? You'll never leave us. I shall not want. Why, my friends, is the fullness of the precious Christ to meet our every need. There's no spot or place or difficulty or trial that you and I can ever get into or fall into or turn away to what the Lord is not able to make a way of escape and to supply our every need. And he will according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You might say, can you always say that? It doesn't matter, friends, whether I can always say it or whether I can't. It means it's true. Whether I can say it or not, of course I cannot always say it. But because I cannot always say it, does it alter the truth of God's word? Isn't that here stated here? And haven't we proved it again and again as we pass along? Well, though it is, as I tried to speak the other day, we have that treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And while you and I have got the treasure in the earthen vessel, if we got it there at all, there's going to be tossings up and down. Days in darkness as well as days in light. But that doesn't alter God's word. It doesn't alter his truth. It doesn't alter his divine sovereignty.
Play.
That's it.
And if I want to, if I'm going to, you put.
That'll sustain. This is our shepherd. Whoever set forth the word of God, although the sheep may stray, will the shepherd say, I'll let it go. Let it go, I've got plenty here. Will he not go after that one sheep? Will he not seek it till he finds it? Is it not more to him now than that 99? And so he goes to seek and search it out. And when he finds it, does he thresh it? Does he beat it? Does he kick it out? Because it is so willfully wandered? No. He puts it on his shoulder and he carries it home. And my friends, you and I never get over if he didn't. He never would. It's his loving kindness and tender compassion to us. Oh, how good our gracious God is. Can you say as you think of it and know how gracious he's been to you? Will he change in his character? His love's unchangeable. It's like himself. There's no shadow of turning in him. Having loved his own, he'll love them unto the end. You might say, well, how do I know I'm among them? That's my trouble. But by reason of what he has done for you and in you. Surely there's something there, isn't it? Unless you're among those who have no fear of God in your heart. Unless you're among those that satisfy to go along with a form of religion. Doing the best you can in this world. And hope it'll be well with you when you come to the end. Oh, the deception. But oh, if he's done something for you, look back. Let not his mercy forgotten. No, in unthankfulness. Lord, my shepherd, I shall not want. That they that fear the Lord shall not want any good thing. You notice it? Any good thing. My friends, we don't know what's good for ourselves. Often your children would ask for different things, wouldn't they? You wouldn't give it to them, would you? Not everything they ask for. you know perfectly well it wouldn't be good for them. And although there might be the repining and the crying and the many tears because you will not grant their request, but you're their parents, you love them, they want to do that which is right for them, and you withhold it. And my friend, so the Lord dealing with his people, and much more so. He draws a finger to this. He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good gifts to those that fear him? But mind you, the Lord alone knows that which is good for us. Yeah. We get fretful sometimes because he doesn't grant our requests. But my friends, I live to thank God that he's withheld it sometimes. As I passed along, I could see if the Lord had granted my request and answered my prayers as I wished him to do at that time, he would only have led me into trouble. But he very kindly goes before, and you see his hand there, comes like, oh friend, doesn't this God give you the confidence and the strength of faith that he did so deliver, so direct, so counsel, so uphold you and so keep you? And when you think of that, you say, I shall not want it. You can't want any good thing, can you? You can't want it. The Lord give us a gracious understanding to deal that, to seek that which is good and not that which is evil. He said, he maketh me to lie down. It isn't all a life of struggle, is it? Trials and temptations, persecution. It isn't all that, is it? Blessed be God, there's some times when he enlarges our steps unto us. When he takes us up in the arms of love and mercy. And sometimes a parent will take the child up in her arms, wouldn't she? And how she would embrace him. How she would pour her love out upon him. But because she puts that child down, is her love gone? Doesn't he love just the same? But you see, the Lord sees fit sometimes to display his love and mercy to his dear people. And he causes them to lie down. He maketh me to lie down. He draws me with cords of love and the bands of a man. I can see his loving kindness and tender mercy towards me. And he makes me to lie down. Hearts of mercy. And he gives the good hope that he's blotted out all your transgressions. He's put them away in his precious blood. What a green pasture is this to sit down in the pastures of his redeeming blood of blood. Never a sweeter pasture than that. Here is the love of God playing for through the person of his dear son. He maketh me to lie down. That is, he brings you away that you know not. He makes the crooked straight and a rough plain, and he brings you that very spot that he's furthest to bless you, makes you to lie down there. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Oh, that's one of the things that nature never will be. But by the grace of God, the child of God has been able sometimes to be still. To lie down in the green pasture of his blessed truth, of his love and mercy. To see the green pasture of the tender herb, tender grass, no hard stubble there. Couldn't lay down comfortable there, could you? It's green, you see. Green pasture. And he maketh me lie down in green. green pasture. Such a lot in the Word of God, isn't there, when you look at it? And he leadeth me beside the still waters. Father, something more than being brought to light out. You see, faith and hope has an invigorating and love of God in our hearts, has an invigorating power. There's a walking that things have. The Word of God says, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in them. He leadeth me, you see. You don't walk alone. It's as he leads you that we were left to walk alone, friends. We should make many mistakes. We should come to our end. But you see, he leads beside the still waters. And still waters are deep waters. You can't see the bottom when it's deep waters. Where still waters has an ominous appearance. No movement in them. But he leadeth me beside the still waters. Keeps thy foot from slipping. And upholds thy gaze at his bars. You know something of these still waters? What a terror they hold for us. Could we pass along there if the Lord had not been with us? Should we not be overcome with them? These can look at it, isn't it? It's another thing to walk it out. And there's a walking these things out. And oft times by the still waters, Christ himself came down into this world of sin and sorrow, that he may walk these places out, he might make a path for his people beside these deep waters. He passed that way. All the sins and guilt and shame of his people were placed upon his spotless, sinless soul. It was essential that it should be so, that he should thus, as walking by these still waters, put away thou sin forever. It was the way he had to go. It was a deep waters to that dear Redeemer. It shook him to the very root. But as he took the cup, he said, if it can be possible, let this cup pass from me. He saw the sufferings that awaited. We don't see them beforehand. We only know them as we come into them, and then only at part. But he saw the full sufferings before he entered into. And he knew the time was coming presently when his father would leave him, when he should stand alone, when his own arms would bring salvation, and there to conquer death and sin, there to satisfy divine justice, as it enacted his vengeance upon him against sin as he stood in the sinner's place. Oh, what a deep mortis. And all to bring us through with. All to make a way for us. And so the psalmist knows a little less that he leadeth me. Doesn't that he shows you, he leads you. He's with you. His hand is outstretched still. He leads you. And it says in the paths, You see, it's in the plural, not in the singular. These many paths to pass through before we enter in. Yes. Not but what there's one way to heaven, do you understand me? I am going to differential on that point. I am the way, the truth, the life, and the Lord. But all our peculiarities, our away. And this psalmist said, show me a plain path for thy name's sake. And the Lord said, I'll bring them in paths that they have not known. I'll make crooked, straight, rough, plain, easy glide to unto them, and not forsake them. Your path may be distinctly different from mine as we pass along through life's journey. And my path distinctly different to yours. But there's one line running through it all. The feeling and sense of the Lord's presence. His keeping care, his love and mercy towards you. And a great sense of a felt need in our hearts, whichever way we come. You may be tried very much in trouble. May meet much deep sorrow and bitter grief as you pass along. It may be otherwise with you. So far as providence is concerned, path may be comfortable. So far as deep sorrow is concerned, you haven't entered into that yet. But then there's your soul, the trial of faith, the indwelling sin, the battle within, and the crying sometimes that ever can't dwell here. These are paths the ungracious character knows nothing of, but they are the paths that the Lord brings his dear people. They are paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There is, my friends, his righteousness is made manifest in it, and it's imputed to the poor child of God as he passes through, yeah, so that no harm can come nigh his dwelling, so that nothing can separate him from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He leadeth me beside the still water. You want his leading? Do pray for it as you pass along. He leadeth me. That if sometimes in your heart, Lord, let thy light and thy truth guide me. Let them bring me to that holy hill, to that sanctuary. You get so tired of self sometimes. So weary within. Lord, do lead me. Bring me where I my heaven may find. Give me a foretaste, Lord. Visit me again with thy salvation. Bring me into that sanctuary. The sanctuary is the place of peace, isn't it? Leadeth me beside a still water. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name. Restores my soul. Do you feel you need that restoring? Do you get so dead sometimes, feeling me? So cold sometimes? And you stand amazed at yourself sometimes and think you can come so low and have such an unfeeling hard heart? Yet with it all, but it's a worldly mind that can be swallowed up and engaged with that. But how the Lord bring you to that place, that you want something more than that. Something says, give me Christ, or else I die. There's an earnest for restoring mercy, and he does restore. His feet people. He does strengthen them again and again. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. And he drops the crumb here and the word there. And does encourage them. Shines them in his own work in their own heart. And he restores their soul. And he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But I must leave it with you, friend. What a mercy. And when we come to the end of the journey, to have such a leader there, we can't walk through the valley alone. Although it's a dark valley, the last enemy is death. Yet to be comforted there, for our souls to be restored, and for that dear Redeemer to lead us through to those paths of righteousness, to be well and, yea, it's as though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Never see a shepherd without his rod or his staff. It's essential, isn't it? And he might reach out his sheep. So it is, my friend, without your shepherd, yes. And he that has led us hitherto will lead us all our journey through. He'll never leave us. Love my shepherd. I shall not want. May that be the blessed portion of us each. And may we have a real right sense of his need as we part from him. For he has promised to meet the needs of his people. He has promised to do them good. And to be able to say, I shall not want. I never have wanted yet, Lord. Thou hast done all things well for me, though they haven't always been comfortable. Thou hast led me along, Lord. It hasn't been the way I wanted to go, but thou hast led me along. I can see now that it's all in love and in mercy, yet. And thou hast not laid me in it, nor hast thou left my soul destitute. No, I shall not want. I'll leave it with you. Some sweet meditation here, friends. May there be a good hope raised that up in our breast. And may he lead us, guide us into all truth. Lead us that in all our ways we acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. Don't neglect.